Right. I'm going to start in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. And we read, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible." And that's my thought for this morning. Seeing him who is invisible. Seeing him. Seeing him who is invisible. And let's pray. Our Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you especially for this chapter and this passage that we can look at this morning. And Father, we thank you for the example and the testimony of Moses that we can look at and be challenged and encouraged by. And I pray that each of us would open our hearts to your word this morning. Father, that we would gain new understanding. And I pray most of all that we would see and that we would learn to see you, though you are invisible. Amen. Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. As Christians, we're asked to do many difficult things, many hard things. And then, on top of everything else, we're told in 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So besides all the difficult commands that Christians are given, besides all the difficult things of lifestyle, we're going to add on top of that persecution. And the natural question is, how am I going to bear it? And the answer is, the same way Moses did. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. This is the secret to a victorious Christian life. We must see him who is invisible. In talking to other Christians, we often say things like, keep looking up, keep looking to Jesus, keep your eyes on Christ. But just what does that mean? It's absolutely paramount that we do it. But what does it mean to do it? Moses, by seeing him who was invisible, made the choices that he made. By seeing an invisible God, he was able to forsake all the glory of Egypt and choose to suffer with the people of God. And the obvious implication is, if we do not see him who is invisible, we will not make those good choices. As you live day by day, moment by moment, how are you going to do this? To see him who is invisible, we have to, by faith, see the eternal things God has promised. To see him who is invisible, we have to see what he has done and recognize the hand that did it. You could spend 1,000 years looking at the sky trying to see God and you'd never see him. But if you look at the same sky and recognize the hand that made this vast universe and named all those stars and calls them by their name, in that thought, you have by faith gotten one little glimpse of who God is by seeing him as creator. By recognizing his incredible power and knowledge in all of his creation, you've gotten a glimpse of who God is. And so, I want to ask the question, what God are you trying to see? And how are you trying to see him? When God gave the Ten Commandments, he started by saying, Exodus 20, verse 1, And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What God is the true God? The God who brought Israel out of Egypt. The only way to define who God is to recognize what He has done and what He has promised He will do. In Genesis 1, we have God as the Creator. If you don't believe in creation, you don't have the right God. In Genesis 6, we find that God is a judge and He destroyed all the earth with a flood. If you don't believe in a worldwide flood, you don't have the right idea of who God is. By faith, back to Hebrews 11:27, by faith he, that's Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses had that history of what God had done, and he also knew the promise to Abraham, the promise that God had made to Abraham for the future of Abraham's children, that they would inherit the land of Canaan. How did Moses see this invisible God? He knew what God had done in the past, and he stood on the promise of what God said he would do in the future. And this is how we see an invisible God. You can't see the wind, but you can see the trees blowing from the wind. And we can't see God, but we can see God's works. We can see what God has done in the past. And we can recognize through His promises what He's going to do in the future. When we come to the New Testament, we find that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He was crucified, buried in a grave, rose again 3 days later. And we know that Jesus is coming back. We know that Jesus is preparing a place for us where we may be with Him for eternity. My point today is not to expound all the fundamentals of the faith or the promises of God. My point is to show that understanding what God has done in the past and believing what He said He will do in the future is the key to the Christian life. This is how you see God. This is what will give you the strength to make the type of choice Moses made. This is what will give you the strength to say with Paul, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And this again is what will give us the ability to face life. Face all the troubles, all the problems that life can give us without getting bitter. How did Joseph make it through everything he went through without becoming bitter about life and bitter at God? He was sold into slavery by his siblings. Then being lied about, he was put in prison. Then he was forgotten about by the butler. I believe it was 17 years that he was in such trials as these. Trials that most of us have never experienced at all, much less 17 years of it. Yet, Joseph came out of all of that loving, kind, compassionate, and gentle. And we, with the little things we've come through, struggle with bitterness. How can this be? The Bible doesn't say of Joseph, he endured as seeing him who is invisible like it does about Moses. But I do believe that is the case. We have in Psalm 105:17, Joseph, starting in the middle of the verse, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron until the time that the word came. The word of the Lord tried him. Joseph had those dreams. that his siblings and even his mother and father would reverence him. But now he was in prison without a ray of hope, without a single thing to grasp a hold of that those dreams would come true, except that he knew God had given them. Joseph was sorely tried. The word of the Lord tried him. He was tried, but he did not fail because he had his eyes on God. Even years later, when his brothers came to beg for his favor, after their father had died and all his brothers were worried and saying, oh, now Joseph is going to revenge himself on us. And they came to him to beg for mercy. He says, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Joseph understood that God is in charge, and it was on that understanding that he did not become bitter toward his brothers. Joseph understood that God meant it for good, and it was on that understanding that he did not become bitter at God. Stephen summed it up in Acts 7:9. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. But God was with him. Not only was God with him, but Joseph knew that God was with him. Timothy just preached on David and Goliath, and how David overcame by seeing him who is invisible. The whole army was looking at Goliath, but David was looking at God. And what was David looking at to see God? Past experience and future promise. David had already killed a lion and a bear, and he knew that God had promised to defend Israel. If you would gain a victory like David's, you will have to endure as seeing him who is invisible. If you would see him who is invisible, you have to remember God's works of old and his promises for the future. Peter. We have all heard the story of Peter walking on the water, so we know how when he started to look at the storm and at the waves and everything rather than at Christ, he started to sink. And we get this clear picture of the importance of keeping our eyes on Christ rather than on the storm around us. So we often remind each other, again, we say, keep your eyes on Christ. And we should actually remind each other of that more often than we do. But have you ever had someone tell you, just look to Jesus? And here you're going, yes, we all know that, but how? How can I see him? Where is he that I can lay my eyes on him and keep my eyes on him? It's not like I'm walking on water and Jesus is right here beside me. Have you ever walked away from someone who told you, look to Jesus, and you said to yourself, yes, of course look to Jesus. Everybody knows that. But what under the sun does that mean in my circumstances? And I hope today I can make that clear. Looking to Jesus is remembering what God has done in the past and believing in his promises for the future. It goes all the way back to believing in creation, believing in the flood, believing in the Exodus, believing in the story of Israel, believing in the birth of Christ, believing in the life of Christ, believing in the death of Christ, believing in the resurrection of Christ, believing in the coming of Christ, and believing in all the promises laid out for us for all of eternity. This is keeping your eyes on Christ. It's just that simple, is believing in the Word of God. Some tend to lose sight of what He has done in the past, specifically in regard to the work of Christ. Many Christians struggle day by day because they don't have the cross of Christ as the backdrop for every thought and every decision. Others tend to lose sight of the glory God has promised for us in the future. Dwelling on heaven and the glories we will there behold is an important part of keeping our eyes on Christ. We must have both halves. We must ever remember the work of Christ on the cross, and we must ever remember our present salvation because of that. But we must also remember the mansion that He is building for us right now. These are the truths of who God is. It's through the work of God in the past and His promises of what He will do in the future. That is how we see God. Keeping the work of God from the past and what He promises to do in the future in our view is the only way to keep your eyes on Jesus. Let us ever remember that saints are called to an eternal glory in 1 Peter 5:10. We are saved with an eternal salvation, Hebrews 5:9, according to an eternal purpose, Ephesians 11:3, based upon an eternal redemption, Hebrews 4:12, saved with an eternal spirit, Hebrews 4:14, sealed or possessing eternal life, John 10:28. Having for refuge the eternal God, Deuteronomy 33:27. And we press toward an eternal inheritance, Hebrews 4:15, where we will inhabit an eternal house, 1 Corinthians 5:1. And on each of us, though worms we are, will yet in that time rest an eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17. And over all things will reign an eternal King. 1 Timothy 1:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This life is so busy with temporal things. Many of them things which we must do. Things that we're even commanded to do in Scripture. We have to work, we have to eat, we have to sleep. And there are thousands of things that we have to do that are all temporal things. But these things must never become the focus of our lives. We are told to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you. If these earthly things become the focus, our lives will be out of balance. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11:27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. If your life is consumed by the things of this life, when someone says, look to Jesus, you won't even know where to start. If your life is consumed by the things of eternity, when someone says, look to Jesus, your mind will be flooded with the remembrance of what God has done in the past and what He has promised to do in the future. You will remember all the works of God that we have testified in Scripture. And you will remember your salvation. You will remember what God has done for you. And on that, you can turn and believe God's promises for the future. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Moses endured by seeing him who is invisible. And this is the only way to live the Christian life. We must see Jesus. And we must do so by seeing, by remembering what he has done in the past and believing what he has promised to do in the future. If you are alive, God has blessed you with the blessings of his creation. If you are saved, God has given you himself. These are such basic truths, but they must never be forgotten. If you're going to endure as a Christian, if you're going to make it through the trials of life without becoming bitter, if you're going to make choices that matter for eternity, you must see God. If you would persevere to the end and find yourself in heaven rather than hell, you must see God. And there's only one way to see an invisible God. We see God clearly portrayed in the works he has done in the past and the works he has promised he will do in the future. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:27. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. This idea of seeing God is the essence of faith. The eyes of faith are the only eyes that can see an invisible God. Seeing God is the same thing as believing his works from the past and his promises for the future. Don't try to work up some emotional state of belief in God's promises. The only foundation on which to believe for the future is to see his character from the past. The past is the key to understand the present. If you believe all the works of God from the past, it's a small step to believe his promises for the future. If you struggle to believe God's promises, don't focus on the promise itself. Step back and recall to mind all the works of God. If you are alive, God has blessed you with the blessings of his creation. If you are saved, God has blessed you with the blessing of giving you himself. But even more important to remember is to believe all the works of God recorded in Scripture. The only way to see an invisible God is by his handiwork. Once again, you could look at the sky for 1,000 years and never see God. But look at the same sky and recognize the hand that fashioned it. Recognize the God who named all those stars. And you'll get a little glimpse of who God is. Recall to mind all the works of God from the ages past. The creation, the flood, the Exodus, the story of Israel, the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the coming of Christ, and His promises to us for all of eternity. We must see the unseen God. If we will live the Christian life, we must get this. We must see Him who is invisible. And there's only one means to do so. There's only one means to see the invisible God. We see God clearly portrayed in His works He has done in the past and the works He has promised He will do in the future. We see God clearly portrayed in the works He has done in the past and the works He has promised He will do in the future. So, let every one of us keep our eyes on Christ. Let's not look at the storm around us. Let's not look at the problems around us. Let's not look at the blessings around us. Whatever it be, positive or negative, good or bad, let's not look at the things around us. Let's look at Christ. And let's do so by being ever conscious, every moment of our lives, keep in our memory the works of God from the past. From creation to the work of Christ on the cross to purchase our salvation. And then turn and look the other way for His promises of eternal life. A home built without hands, eternal weight of glory for us. This is keeping our eyes on Christ. These are the things we must dwell on. I know we're a little early, but that's the conclusion. So let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your goodness. And we thank You for creation. Father, we thank You for creating this universe and this world and for creating us. Father, I thank You that each one of us has the miracle of life. That You formed and fashioned us in the womb and allowed us to be born and to live. Father, that You've allowed us to breathe Your air and eat Your food. And live long enough to be here today. Father, we thank You that You are a judge and that You're a good judge. That You're ready and willing to punish sin and even destroy the world with a flood to do it. And yet, God, You're a loving God, and all the while Your plan was to send Your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be the salvation for us. God, we thank You that You are perfect and sinless. That salvation is offered to us. That Jesus Christ took our sins and gave us righteousness. God, we thank You for these things. And then we thank You for all of Your promises for the future. God, that You would prepare for us a place in Your heaven where we will dwell for all of eternity. God, we deserve hell. And yet You promise us these incredible things that we don't understand and we don't comprehend. God, I pray that every person here would get a glimpse of this. And that by seeing what You've done in the past and seeing Your promises for the future, God, that we would see God today. And God, I pray that by this vision, by this sight, we would find the strength to overcome in this life. That we would find the strength to make the choices that Moses made. That we would find the strength to overcome all the trials of life that we come through like Joseph did. Father, that we would find the strength to live the life of Paul, counting all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Father, we thank You and we praise You for Your goodness. Help us to keep our eyes on You. Amen.